Welcome to Polycast, a Civilization podcast focused on game strategy.
Polycast Focus, Civ World.
QNL.
Vibor. Xeon World.
Well, as far as their whole, we are a Facebook game that's unlike any other Facebook game that's come before, they kind of are, kind of aren't. It's definitely not Facebook, not Civ, but there's elements of each in there.
Yeah, I think it's definitely true. I think it has some of the hallmarks of most Facebook games, such as Farmville. At the same time, I'm not sure how close it really comes to approximating the Civ experience, even though there are some tropes of Civilization in there. This is the first offering by Firaxis into the Facebook realm, and this is definitely the first Facebook Civ title. There have been certain iterations of Civ Online before, such as FreeCiv.net, which is essentially Civ 2 in a browser. However, it has never been released in Facebook format before, which is supposed to be a big deal, but we'll talk about it. So what did you guys think about Civ World before you guys started playing it?
I didn't really hear too much as far as specifics before I actually got online and played with it. So on the one hand, I had a very wild imagination, so I had lots of dreams and ambitions about what they could do. But on the other hand, I really didn't know what you could do with the Facebook API that would be so different.
Yeah.
So I just tried to reserve my thoughts as much as I could. I loved the idea that games would end.
Oh, yeah.
That was, like, the only thing that I knew for sure.
Would you say that you, right now, in terms of other Civ you play, do you play more Civ 4 or do you play more Civ 5?
Personally, I haven't really had time for Civ because of school stuff for a fair while, but lots more Civ 4 than Civ 5 because my time per play died off just before Civ 5 came out.
Yeah, pretty much the same situation with me too, but I also don't play Civ 5 that often for other reasons, which are not part of this podcast.
Well, I used to play Civ 4. And then I switched to Civ 5 immediately came out, simply because I was playing Civ 4 so intensely that I had to make a change, and I kind of stuck to Civ 5. I didn't hear much about Civ World either. What I knew was that it's going to be based on many players instead of one single player like it is in Civilization games. And since I was playing World of Warcraft before, I was interested in how the game will look like, because I knew that it will have some Civilization elements in it, yet still being played by a lot of people.
Yeah, I feel like that was the main impetus for Civ World being created, really, to bring a greater audience into Civ through Facebook, but also to bring a better social experience to Civilization after sort of the debacle of multiplayer in Civ 5. What did you guys think about the anticipation for Civ World before it came out, like in the forum and such?
Well, I must admit, I did sign up for the beta, and then I forgot about it because I got really involved with Civ 5. So from that standpoint, I wasn't really following when Civ World beta is going to come out, and I kind of dislike waiting for stuff anyway, so
yeah.
It was like suddenly, wow, I was invited, and then I just started playing.
Yeah, we should note that Civilization is currently under a beta right now, but none of us are under an NDA, neither are any of the players of Civilization World at this point, so we can say what we like about it. NDA stands for Non-Disclosure Agreement, by the way. Did you get into the beta through the forums before?
I think so. I signed up as soon as the sign-up was even possible, and then I heard nothing for almost half a year, and then I just suddenly got the mail. So, yes, I think it was through the forums.
Unfortunately, I never heard of that. I mean, they'd already launched the beta by the time I had actually really heard anything much about it, other than the speculation there will be a Civ for Facebook sometime, which honestly didn't sound believable.
Game Pro thing.
It's pretty, well, vague.
So what I'm referring to is there was a GamePro article that came out on Civ World June 2nd, pretty much before it was really open to a lot of people in the beta. It was basically just kind of laying it out what you have to do. But in what aspect did you think it was weak?
Well, I don't think it was weak, but it was vague in a way that we didn't really get to see what the game will be about. Yes, there was a mention about minigames and core mechanics, but realistically, a player cannot get a feeling for this kind of a game until he actually starts playing with other people. As I mentioned, I used to play World of Warcraft before, and Blizzard and World of Warcraft had a similar problem that they launched the game, and then it developed through years, literally, as they adapted the game for the fact that a lot of people play at the same time.
Yeah, what was your first experience with Civ World like when you first started playing it?
I was completely confused, and I generally dislike Facebook games because they are slow, and I dislike slow games because the learning curve extends to days rather than minutes or hours. I was completely lost through the whole first game. That's the first thing that struck me, that it's going to be really hard to learn this game because all the things, well, they must be, but they're very slow.
Yeah, one must note that the pace of Civ World is actually quite slow. You're limited in the amount of resources you can get in a single bout of playing the game.
Yeah, the first time I came in, I remember I was just playing around with the interface mostly, and I got to the point where I couldn't get back to my city. I had absolutely no idea where to go, what to do, because I had looked at someone else's yard, didn't know what I was looking at. It was totally useless for me to do so. But then I was left with no buttons that seemed to get me back to my own home. So I ended up just closing the thing and coming back the next day. But yeah, there's just so many different options and things that you need to think about. I remember there was a little bit of a sort of walkthrough that got you some great people and some population. But when I came out of that, I still knew nothing about the game. And I think that's a huge failing so far in a lot of aspects, because two or three games ago, some people were posting on the forums about how some obscure little team just came from the back burner and wiped everyone out and ended up taking the win in the game. And someone from that team came on the forums and he said, yeah, it just happened that, you know, five of us were online at the same time. And I told the other guys how the game actually plays and like what dowry is and some other things like that. And all of a sudden, you know, we were able to work together and just boom, finish the game.
I don't even know what a dowry is.
Yeah, we'll talk about all kinds of mechanics stuff eventually, but there's just so many little things about this game that you might not even see that there's something there that you don't know.
I know that when you mouse over, those pop-ups, you know, are supposed to help, but honestly, they don't really tell you very much beyond the basic, and that's kind of a failing. There's no real, like, comprehensive way to really comprehensively know the game quickly.
Except, of course, for the wiki thing and the forums, but that is just so much information, and it's on everything, so you can't find the one thing that I need to know right now.
Yeah. You can note that having those kinds of resources available for Civilization games already would have helped us first place. The lack of that kind of thing, partly due to the newness of Civilization World itself, but at the same time, this is much easier to adapt to. But I don't know if that's the fault of the API or just the programmers of Civ World.
Well, I think that the biggest thing that's missing, actually, from Civ World, this is going to sound weird, but a single-player option in which you can explore the game at a faster pace, and if you fail, you can try again and again and again, and you can learn all those mechanics that are very important, like research, like building wonders. At how the game plays now, you need to spend a week learning all the tiny details, and it's really frustrating, because if you have a question, and you just clicked on something, for example, the dowry, and you just clicked some random button and it worked, then you have to wait for either a week or a completely new game to try it and test it again to see how it actually works. In Civilization games, which are single player, you don't have to worry about that because you can just start a new game and do it all over.
Yes, this is true. I definitely think that that's a good idea. I would have liked to have some sort of single-player option like that just in order for me to learn the mechanics of this game, which honestly seem very different to me than other Civ titles.
Well, one thing you're talking about is that it come from Civ, where information is always just right there. You can get straight into the Civilopedia, and it's relevant to the item that brought you in there, because you just right-click on something, choose Civilopedia, and there you go. And that's one of the areas where the API screws them up, because they're embedded in Flash, which doesn't let you use right for anything. That brings up Flash player's settings and options instead. So they're stuck with a single mouse button to try to do everything. And yeah, fitting the Civilopedia into there to where it's contextual, like we're used to, won't work.
Yeah, I'll give it that, you know, that it's difficult to program something like that in the format that they have, but at the same time, I would probably argue that, you know, that's their job.
Yeah, well, they could have just annoyed the crud out of us with lots of pop-ups, you know, your mouse has gone over a merchant for the first time ever, hey, here's some information about how merchants work, do you really want to read it? And you get bombarded by those heavily in a game, you tell it not to bother with you, because you're still so new, that information doesn't help you. But there is probably some happy medium somewhere that they can figure out, like a single-player game, where you can just play around with things. That would be a fantastic idea.
Even something like SysTiff, now that I think of it, in Civ 4, they are honestly super annoying if you already know how to play the game. But they do come up quite often when you first start the game and you turn them on. And that thing could actually be useful.
Well, Macintosh had a similar problem for like 20 years. They had only one mouse button. So what they did, they just assigned a key which serves with the left click as the right click. So they solved most of the problems with that. That could be the case in Civ World as well. For example, you press Control or, I don't know, Alt, and you get the Civilopedia.
Yeah, I was trying to think about that and whether or not the Flash player actually handles simultaneous keyboard and mouse inputs. And I can't think of any games where I've seen that used, but that doesn't mean it's not possible.
I know what you mean, but it should be possible, even if it isn't, because Flash, as it is a media which also serves or is a base for many games, and it would be very beneficial to have that kind of a feature.
Speaking of Flash and UI, let's go on to the topic of bugs and crashes. I don't know about you guys, but I've definitely had my share of those. In fact, you know, the first time I ever opened up Civ World, there was a crash that wouldn't let me really do anything. I've had bugs in which I can't see my buildings. I've had bugs in which, you know, I've lost game. I think this is a huge problem. And honestly, I'm not in favor of their using Flash.
Well, I don't know. I might be lucky, but I had no problems with bugs or crashes until the last patch.
The June 12th patch.
The patch introduced a myriad of bugs. For example, my workers who are assigned as farmers are actually also getting me hammers at the same time, for some reason. Or the fact that I cannot load the game, or that I cannot enter some screens and so on. So, I don't think it's Flash to blame, to be honest. I think there are many factors here involved.
For me, the only bug that I ran into, I played my first game of not knowing what on earth is going on, and then my second game I played, I was actually up there around like the top 10 for quite a while, had first place for a little bit, which I had no idea how I had it, but I did. But then I just quit playing for a while because there was a period of about a week where every time I would log in, I'd have someone else's city sitting in front of me. It would show me as being in someone else's Civ, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. I'd see chat for a Civ that I knew I wasn't in. I was like in the Egyptian dynasty or something like that, and I'd log in and I'd be with the Americans. I was so absolutely confused because I would just log in and there it was. Really insanely frustrating because there was nothing you could do about it. But since I started playing again about a week ago maybe, I haven't had anything like that. But then again, I usually play in single chunks, so I might just not happen to come on long enough or at the right time to catch the big bugs that you've had.
Yeah, I don't know. I've just had bad experiences with bugs that will kind of prevent me from starting up again or prevent me from even wanting to start up again. You know, I lost my whole freaking game. What's the point? One thing that I definitely miss about Civ that I haven't seen in Civ World is just the history aspect of it also. I myself just really love the history aspect of Civilization titles, and that's much of the reason I play it. But if there is no real qualitative difference between an Egyptian Civ and some other Civ, then there's not really a point to it being civilization, in my perspective. You build things like, you know, markets and libraries. In that respect, you are building an empire to some extent. But at the same time, there's, like, no reason it should be the Egyptian empire instead of, like, the Martian empire.
Yeah, true. There's no, you know, Gandhi's unique workers or the unique buildings, the unique units. Those were what made you decide, hey, this is who I want to be. And yeah, we totally don't have that.
And they've taken out that part of the strategy out completely.
Well, all things considering, civilizations are arbitrary. I mean, there is no map, there are no real borders, there is just a lobby in which you have players, and that's it. All the common information is also just text and just numbers. So there is no, like, real strategy involved like in Civilization games, or where you have a real map and real resources and real borders and things like that.
In terms of game mechanics and what we've found about the game so far, confusion seems to be a pretty common theme. Let's start talking about game mechanics. Game mechanics UI so far.
The bubbles that you get a pop, if you're sitting there staring at your screen, then you have certain cities that kill the resources for you, and every now and then people will pop up this little bubble above their head, you run your mouse cursor over it and you get some extra resources. This thing I find to be incredibly annoying, but I haven't sat down to test yet exactly how much of an effect it has. Since I've played with it a while, I've decided if I were to code it, I would make it so hitting all of those bubbles while you're online keeps your production as high as it would be when you're offline, not is an extra bonus, because there's really high potential for someone cheating in terms of those bubbles. It's very easy to set up a program that'll move your mouse around for you and collect them while you're away from the keyboard. So if people do that, and it turns out if someone looks at your city and they pick up bubbles on your city, they go to you, not to the person looking. So that's where people, once this is released, and there's lots of guys doing multiple accounts and other kinds of standard cheating, it's incredibly exploitable. You get four or five different setups clicking bubbles for you, and your production will shoot through the roof.
I mean, even imagine that in terms of any sort of Civ title, like Civilization in general. Just imagine being two civilizations at once in a given game. That bumps your level up 4 or 5 at least, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's vastly unfair. In fact, speaking of unfairness, I definitely do not like the whole payment system that they have going on here. Since I am against it, not like I've spent any money on it, but it is pretty prominent in the game. One can mouse over the number of harvests that one has left, and you can do a certain amount of harvests depending on how long it has been since the last time you played. And you can actually do more harvests, so reduce the effective time, which is present for everyone, by just spending money to get more of it.
Well, yeah. On the one hand, they did do well with setting a limit on how much money you can spend per day. I like that they made that move. It makes it to where you can't just completely buy a win. But on the other hand, if someone wanted to blow the money to just buy a win, personally, I'd rather them just end the game immediately so I can move on to another one where Mr. Moneybags isn't bouncing us all around.
Yeah, well, coming from both online and offline games, I think the most important thing that they need to take care of is SimWorld needs to be a fair game. Even if somebody pays for extra resources, it still needs to be a fair game. And as you mentioned, setting up multiple accounts, automatic mice, I don't know, lots of types of different cheating methods, it needs to be fair, and it's going to be extremely difficult to manage that, especially since there are so many players per game. I think it's 200 is the limit or something like that. If it's not going to be fair, then it's not going to be enjoyable. And if it's not going to be enjoyable, then people are just going to leave.
Yeah, I mean, it just really brings to mind the question of why am I playing this game if any effort that I put in could be negated by any number of unsavory tricks.
The mechanics themselves are reminiscent of Age of Empires mixed in with Civilization games. There are some aspects of older games like Pipe Mania. It has some features of Farmville and similar games, and also board games, all those cards and stuff. Overall, I don't think it's a bad concept, but it's not very satisfying to master the mechanics. It's all about the social aspect of it, because the mechanics themselves are pretty simple. Pipes and puzzles and plant a cottage here and an orchard there. It's all rather rudimentary. It all boils down to the social aspect. A civilization of 10 organized people is going to demolish a civilization of 50 unorganized people. I'll bring up World of Warcraft again because it's a perfect example on how a small group of organized people can completely break the game, especially if account cloning is enabled or some sort of account cloning. It's going to be extremely difficult to balance out small empires and disorganized people with super organized people.
Yeah, and given that it is in the Facebook format, I feel like it's virtually impossible to prevent multiple accounts from happening.
Yeah, that's something you just have to be able to plan how to prevent a significant advantage through having the multiple accounts. So that would be things like not letting you choose exactly which civilization you belong to, or, I don't know, it's really hard to plan around that. Finding a flawless balance between sizes of civs, where adding that extra person who you can control perfectly and work with flawlessly doesn't end up giving you a huge advantage. But that's what this entire game seems to boil down to for being able to win, is who can coordinate with their team the best.
Yeah.
When your team is you, you have flawless coordination.
That should be the point of Civ World, that you should organize people better, make it a more social experience, because it is on Facebook, after all, rather than your computer. Well, Facebook is on your computer, too, but I think you know what I mean. But I honestly think that it's not really as easy to coordinate with people as, for example, it might be in a Civ multiplayer game, especially given how confusing the game is at the moment.
Honestly, I'm not sure that Firaxis is ready for this type of a game. Civilization World is a competitive game, unlike Farmville.
Yeah.
Farmville, you basically are trying to beat the system, and in Civilization World, you are using the system to beat an opponent. All the very strict or very balanced multiplayer games like America's Army or StarCraft II are extremely careful about limiting the amount of players that are able to play a certain game. They are spending literally years and millions of dollars on game balance. In contrast, Civilization World enables 200 players to log on instantly, or an X number of players, without these balancing checks done in advance, and I don't think that Firaxis has the resources to do this. This basic idea that Civ World is competitive is, I think, the biggest challenge this game has to win to actually work.
And the way that it is competitive is another thing that just blew my mind when it first was completely exposed to me. And I knew you were competing with the other civilizations to see who could win, you know, each era and then who could win overall in the game. But I didn't realize at first that the winner of the game is that one person who has the most fame. And so in one game, there was this guy advertising that, I'm the tech minister of the current leading civilization. Who wants to have me join them? And I'm like, you're in the leading civilization. Why would you be wanting to hop somewhere else? And it wasn't until quite a while later that I understood the whole farming of medals and getting your fame to rack up by hopping civs. So it's actually, in order to be the winner, you're being encouraged to stab people in the back, basically. We saw this guy in another game after that one had ended, and I was online while he was doing his little auctioning off thing again, and there was someone else who recognized him. And we were both like, okay, dude, we're telling everyone, just don't take him. He's going to hop out of your civ immediately. He's doing this all just for himself. And then I saw him in another game after that, and dude was like 300th place, because apparently he had decided, it's not that worth winning anyway. At that point, we didn't have victory screens yet, so the fact that he was winning these games, unless he was online, he didn't even know.
And I remember when we were first asking about how this would work in Civ World, we discussed this in a podcast, and what we were told was it would be a measure of how much one person contributed to the victory of a certain Civ. That's what fame was supposed to be. I guess that's called fame now. But from what you're telling me, people can screw it up massively.
It's actually just before we started this recording that I was playing around with things, and I finally found this one little screen that tells you which medals are available to win, and medals are the main source of fame points, as far as I can tell, that and your rank in the civilization, but basically, if you're currently the highest fame, it looks like you're king of any civ you join, even if you just joined. So, when they win an era based on what your rank is, you get lots of extra fame for that. The first person to get certain population sizes in the civ. So you go to some civilization that builds the big wonder that doubles your population, and then you go join someone who just started the game. They're their own civ. They have 7 people. And so you get the medals off of them for 8 people, 9 people, 10 people, 11 people, up to, 12 or whatever you have. Or you rack up lots of gold, and then you go join some civ that has no gold, and you rack up a bunch of free medals off them. You can look at the list, and there's, one for every tech. Whoever contributed the most to the tech gets it. one for constructing the first ginormous building of each type, one randomly assigned to someone involved in the war that you win, one randomly assigned to someone who contributed a great person to one of the wonders. And then there's the certain gold marks and certain population mark ones. That's what you're seeing when you see someone's name in the little ribbon format, all the cute little medals on them, is how many times they were the first to certain landmarks. And then, of course, there's a contest in the market, which is another thing that took me forever to notice. Like, every hour, there's a new contest, and most of them, really easy to win, if you know to look for them and understand the wording to figure out what on earth they're actually looking for.
I definitely did not know about the specifics of how to get so much fame, but I guess somebody who's listening can get a lot of information on it to get to it themselves if they even want to. One simple way of repairing that mechanic would just be to de-emphasize metals, but that puts more emphasis on the other things that you mentioned, which seem kind of cheap, honestly.
Well, there's a card game that I played once. It's Killer Bunnies, in case anyone who listens is familiar with it. The point of the card game is that you've got this small stack of cards that are your magic carrots. And whatever carrot's on the bottom, whoever owns the big card for that is the winner of the game. You just don't get to see that until the very end of the game. So the entire game you're playing, you're trying to gather carrots. Once they're all gone, then you end the game and you see which one is the winner. There are certain rules, like you have to have a bunny alive in order to get a carrot and things like that. And so you lose track of the "we want to get carrots" with the fun of "I'm going to kill your bunnies and keep my bunnies alive." A gameplay like that, where you're just sitting there fighting with one another and there's certain conditions that you have to maintain in order at the end to be viable for being in the winner's bracket. And then we look back over what you had and evaluate, okay, well, these are all of the civilizations that were, you know, the world powers at the time we ended the game. Now, amongst those civilizations, it turns out the thing that we value the most this game is, random roll of the dice, culture. Okay, so who has the best culture or this one specific wonder? And then you grab them out of that. And it's kind of random, but there's the fact of, you know, these are the items which can be selected from, so I want to get as many of those as possible so that my chances at the end are higher. And then the fact that winning the game doesn't really matter other than you have a net fame score that carries through games. Other than that, it doesn't matter at all, and that score, I mean, for those of us in the open beta, we're going to have that score so much higher than people who join after it releases that the only thing it's really going to mean is how long have you played. So there should be something more tangible, like a giant free wonder that carries over into the next game that sort of helps throughout the entire course of the game but doesn't really tip things entirely in your favor. Then it gets away from the "there are abusable mechanics" and more towards the "hey, let's have fun improving our chances, and then next game we have fun again improving our chances."
I don't know. The principal idea that players and civilizations try to compete with each other and then one person wins, even if 100 people were working for him, it's kind of discouraging to play the next game. And in my opinion, this is because Pyraxis immediately plummeted into the player versus player setting, where you are collecting a resource X, in this case medals or fame, and you are trying to be someone special. Instead of focusing first on, let's call it, player versus environment, in which players team up to battle the elements, or in this case the game system, and then just occasionally and gradually introduce player versus player features once the PvE is balanced. As you said, give out different challenges, give out some random goals for finishing the game first. It doesn't have to be always, you know, oh, I am the guy with the most fame, I am, well, the game is over.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Well, I know that these mazes and these puzzles are very reminiscent of traditional board games, and I know that people do like it for that reason, but it's just really not for me. I don't really think of it as relevant. You know, I'm just solving this puzzle for what reason. It has no real, I guess, I wouldn't say functional, but conceptual relation to what you're ending up getting, except for the fact that you're, like, putting pictures together to get a great person. Honestly, that's not something that I like.
Yeah, for me, as far as the main big picture game goes, I like to focus on the science because that's just always what it's been about with me for Civ, is the science. The thing I hate about that is if your Civ completes the tech while you're asleep, you can't put yourself up to automatically go into another tech. So that time is just wasted. So in that case, I'm discouraged from working on tech. Plus the minigame, the mazes, they take a lot of moves to get through, and whoever gets to the end is the only person who gets that reward. And then everyone starts over on the next one. So it's another thing where your timing just has to be perfect. You have to be online at that moment when you have just enough moves to get in, and before someone else with just enough moves to get in happens to come online. So as far as that minigame goes, I hate it. I would like it if there was a unique minigame per tech that you could try to complete as many times as you have moves available for, and so then it would be fun. It'd be like, oh, hey, I really like the tech for masonry, so I want to try to make sure, let's see, looks like masonry will come up in about 4 or 5 hours, so maybe, you know, I'll try to take a nap and then wake up in the middle of the night so I can do that one, because it's awesome. Something like that would be kind of cool, whereas this maze thing, honestly, just every now and then, when a tech has taken forever and I've got a lot of moves racked up, I'll pop in there and see if I can do something. But I've got sort of lost the feel for it. Whereas culture, it just racks up forever, and then you go in and you put together these puzzles and you build up a ton of points really fast because you get a nice chain bonus. That's kind of nice. I'm getting sick of seeing the same picture over and over, but unfortunately, that's my favorite minigame. And then the caravans, they'd be nice if it weren't for the fact you get such a very low payout unless you wait like a week between doing them. And then eventually you've got 3 or 4 stations you have to go through, and it's impossible to actually finish the thing with a worthwhile profit. So, fortunately, as far as the minigames go, they kind of lost me on those. I don't find them that enjoyable. I come on every now and then and play with the puzzles. That's about it.
I don't really think they add anything to the game. It's not something that I would specially play Civilization World 4. In fact, it would really deter me from playing it.
The puzzle swapping, the fact that every move you make gives you an advantage, and doing lots of moves in a row properly gives you more of an advantage. That was a good move. The tech one, where you have to be that one guy who gets into the middle, that one I don't see as being nearly as much of a good move. So
yeah.
I'd really like to see him change something with the techs. Since it's still closed beta, I'm really hoping they change a lot, but the fact that they're in their second phase of the beta makes me think not too much is going to change from here.
The main map, and the fact that, for example, forests give happiness, and lakes and so on, and multiple coasts give bonus to food production and so on and so on. That was the right direction to go. For science and culture as well. We don't even need minigames, as long as there's the map. The map is always randomly generated for each player at every new game. It would be much better if you start a new game and you want to work on science, that if there would be some factors on the map, which needs to be planned around or worked around so you can build more science. For example, I don't know, specific layout of land, it enables you to...
resources, too. Like,
yeah.
I mean, if you want science, you go for gems.
In this case, you can go with 5 buildings here because you have an oil well. Or in a second case, you can build a dam or something. So the randomness of the map is a good way to actually force the player to think about what he's doing instead of just clicking a puzzle. And as you said, it's horribly implemented. The whole idea of not being able to play when you want to, but the fact that you take huge breaks between your plays should be universal. So the harvest pile up and its culture piles up, so everything else should pile up because you're not able to play Civ World all the time. It's designed to be played every, 6 hours. A player shouldn't be penalized for not being online when the game tells him, don't be online.
Yeah, that was another reason why I was saying with the bubble popping, it should be if you pop every bubble while you're online, you get equal to what you would get if you were offline. So it would encourage people to do the short bursts instead of the, well, I have a job that lets me sit at the computer all day, like front desk at a hotel or something, where you can always slip over for a quick mouse movement between whatever tasks you're doing. Those people can get an advantage because they're online all the time. They're picking up these extra little bits. They're using that one critical move in the maze. They're online when they happen to get it.
Yeah, that's true. But at the same time, I don't like the fact that you kind of have to keep the Civ World in the back of your mind during the whole day before you have to log into it. It's just not fun for me to have to set internal timers to when I'm supposed to play a game. Everything else in life is determined, too. Why am I letting these schedules set requirements upon me as to when I'm supposed to come in and play?
It's ridiculous. It really is. Because if, for example, I come home and a new game starts and I need to set up my science, and I want to spend 2 hours setting up my science for this game, that's fine. If you need to plan ahead or if you have to dedicate some time to set up things, Like, for example, when you get a new worker, you need to choose a place for him, a profession. Is he a scientist or an artist or a farmer? That's fine. I need to find a location. I need to find resources to build a lumber mill or a granary for him or an orchard. That's the current state of the game. It's like half done and the first half knows what it's doing and the second half isn't.
Yeah, I agree. My overall opinion is that mazes, puzzles, those kinds of things, they don't really do anything, at least for me, to add any inclusive that hasn't been there before. And I feel like the challenge of the map, like Vibor said, is enough, and it should be enough.
Yeah, the map was kind of weird for me. The first time I got on, I was like, oh, cool, I got this little map, this is my space, then this is Civ, so if I follow this road, I should probably find someone else. And so the first time I went through, I found this giant wall, and I was like, oh, so this is actually just all my territory. And you're at that point where you don't understand anything about the game. So to me, I just was like, okay, so what was the point of me looking at anything? I've got plenty of room for the 8 people that I employ, and they're all better when they're around my castle and around lakes, and my castle's right by water, so why did I expose any map at all? This is stupid. I quit exploring for quite a long time until I found village squares. Those were a great thing, and they happened to expose some maps. So I started using those, and they opened up some maps, but I was still like, so find an area with a lot of water, maybe build an area that produces some good food, but otherwise, what's up with the map? There's a lot more they could do. Like Vibor was saying, they could have spots that are ideal for your tech. I mean, one of the great things with Civ was you find that desert that is absolutely horrible right now, but you move in and you take it because you know in the later years, this is where the uranium and the oil and the aluminum and the rubber and the really rare resources are going to be. So in this one, I kind of expect it. When the tech tree gets up there, you're going to see new things on your map. Instead, no, it's just, this is your map. This is what you got the whole game. Have fun with it.
And that's the thing that I kind of thought of. Trading resources in previous Civ titles was a kind of sort of a way to be social about the game. But instead of kind of using that as a strategy to make people more social and make this more of a Facebook game, they just eliminated that mechanism altogether, which I feel is a mistake.
Yeah, having uranium pop up in the middle of your terrarium or something like that would be, I feel, a great addition to this. And I haven't played with battle, like, at all. Right now, I've just started joining in on 3 or 4 of them to see what it was like. But as far as I can tell, you just pay some money or pay some production, you get some units, you slap them in there, and whoever happens to have waited long enough to guess the right weather for when the battle occurs, they're going to be the ones who win. Or the ones who happen to be online to pump out that big wonder, they're going to be the ones who win. And then the Civ who's ahead in tech, he's going to get attacked by like 8 people at once. Someone's going to win, and now you lost your tech lead completely. Whereas, yeah, if you had those resources in there, then you'd know, of the 200 people playing, there's 3 of them with uranium. So I'm going to go to them, and I'm going to offer them, you know, all sorts of awesome things to come join my Civ so that we have the uranium, so that we can build, you know, the nuclear subs or whatever. Something like that would definitely be a lot more interesting, because then you've got that whole espionage thing they tried to bring in with Civ 4, where you're running in and saying, hey, hey, good looking, you got some uranium there, and join it.
Or, for example, you could have, players could make some closed scenarios, which are, for example, you are building a fleet, and your fleet consists of 5 aircraft carriers and 3 nuclear submarines. Once you complete that project, now it's going to attack someone who you choose. And then the other players, they have to build a defense against that. Because right now you can just, as you said, just slap in more and more units. And whoever happens to be there when the battle starts, that's it. Those guys win. I think the designers of these games were very confused when they were making it.
Yes, I feel like it's honestly like a Frankenstein of games, just a bunch of different games kind of stuck together and molded into a Facebook game.
Well, it did offer a lot for like that first week. First day or two were annoying as heck because you had to just figure out what was going on. And then after that, it was kind of cool because you were playing with things, seeing what they did. And then after that, you got to the point where it was like, okay, well, I sort of understand how to do these things. My individual effort's not that important. If I can get everyone to coordinate by catching them when they're online, having them talk to me in chat, telling them how the game really works, and then we all decide on something to work on that nobody else is also working on more competently than us, then yay, we managed to pull something off, and it matters for like 1/20th of the total game. So if I could be online nonstop for the next 5 days, I could make a dent towards us winning. So yeah, short term, playing for a little bit, great game, lots to offer, but as time wears on, you start to get to the point where you're wondering, you know, well, what's the replay value? What's the great pull for me to come back here? The moment I start to make friends with a bunch of people, the game ends, we started into a new one, I didn't make such great friends with them that I have any way to get in touch with them and find out what civ they joined, so now I gotta track them down. Make that awkward, hi, remember me? We sort of not won last game. Yeah, you want to hook up and see if we can sort of not win better this game?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bit awkward. I feel like they're trying to make this, you know, massively multiplayer, but I don't necessarily feel that Facebook is the right way to do it. I honestly think that Civ World might be a little bit better in scope if one could just join smaller games. You don't necessarily have to approach people awkwardly to get them to do something with you. Of course, it helps if your existing friends are into Civ World as well, but given the way Civ World is right now, I'm not sure how much that's going to happen.
Yeah, it would be great if we had game speeds. You know, if you could actually join a game that meant to finish an era every 10, 20 minutes. So you can sit down, got a Saturday, you got nothing better to do than play your favorite little game, Civ World. You can get on, do a full game from start to end. Because missing that first three eras or so is huge in terms of medals, as well as in terms of setting your civ up to be powerful. So you miss those, and now you're just sort of a little bit of a boost for whoever you happen to join, but you're not a major player.
And this was mentioned earlier, but honestly, even stabbing people in the back in terms of declaring war on them, military mechanics are a mess. They are not fun at all. Like DMO said earlier, you kind of just send your troops there and you say, oh, I guess they killed them, and then you win or you lose. It's not like I like to watch combat animations in Civ 4, but I do like something else there. Like, I want some better way to strategize my battle. It doesn't really seem like there's much there. You're just throwing stack on stack.
Yeah, it would be kind of nice if there was something more to that, like an actual, you get in, you play the mini game type of deal. Like even just a tower defense game where, hey, these are the units that we've thrown in, so that's the waves they're going to have to fight against. And now they use their resources to build their defending units, and we go through their little pathway or something.
That's a good idea. That would be a good platform for a mini game rather than being a mechanism to gain culture or science or whatever.
Or you could even go like some collectible card game type of things, you know, Yu-Gi-Oh! Magic type of deal, where you've worked together as a civ to build your deck of potential troops. And then you get like 45 minutes or so per turn, as long as there's someone online. I don't know how you'd work out the timing part of it, but you'd go back and forth, playing a card down from your hand, declaring your attacks, and maybe set up where they can't declare their own defenders so that your turn finishes completely on your side at a time. And then certain people that have over a one-third score in your civ are the ones who are able to actually go into the battle and control your current turn. Things like that would just be a lot more interactive and rewarding than, I'm going to flood this entire thing and I'm going to be really pissed off because one guy put in a single ship in both of our slots against their 16 ships in each slot. And since he's not online or not responding, we can't do anything.
Yeah.
So our ships are going to get blown away and we're going to get backhanded by that.
Yeah, that's the problem when you have a game which is a player versus player in essence, and players are not online. So, as you said, faster games would be much better because then all the people who are actually playing the game would be there at the same time, even if it takes just 2 hours to be online. But I am saying what takes 3 minutes in StarCraft II takes 30 minutes in Civilization V. And that takes 30 hours in Civ World.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate there.
Considering all the difficulties the gameplay is already suffering from, I think the patch changes are, well, mostly cosmetic in their effect.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, they included a couple of things, such as a new friend screen and increasing the maximum number of civs and capping the overall gold amount. I didn't know they did that.
The big change that I saw in there that really mattered in any way, shape, or form for me, I mean, lots of them are things that I was not nearly good enough to run into, like that gold cap, was just the closed borders changes. They're trying to make it harder to close borders and penalize you to close it because I guess they realized bloody well everyone is closing borders right as soon as they can, and then new people who join the game after everyone's closed borders, they have one civ or nowhere that they can go. Now we can have 15 independent civs. and you get a penalty while you've got your borders closed. Because honestly, other than getting those stupid Civ hoppers to leave you alone, I don't know what advantage there really was to closing borders unless you were one of those few miracle teams who actually had, you know, six or seven people that worked together flawlessly.
I don't know. I think they were trying to, like, put in the same effect as one would get when one closes borders in other Civ titles. But, yeah, I think it was pretty much just that. And also, for closed borders, they required that you have the masonry tech. So that's another impedance to your having closed borders as well.
Yeah. Like, you built a giant wall around your civilization, so you need masonry, right?
Yeah, of course, right?
It feels like a game which is designed for people completely new to gaming. For people who never played Pipe Mania, or for people who never played Civilization V or any Civilization game, and who are completely new to MMO games. So if there is a lot of history and a lot of methods of both cheating and playing better, simply better, on the market, and there are a lot of people who do that, and somehow I don't think SimWorld is up to all those challenges which are ahead of it. And well, we'll see in the end.
Is there anything else besides, like, mazes or puzzles that you find kind of extraneous to the game?
Your throne room?
Oh, yeah. That's ridiculous.
It's kind of nice to have it back, and it's sort of, oh, yay, I managed to accomplish that really awesome thing that lets me have Da Vinci's glider. Yeah, it's rare that I ever look at someone else's, and most of them didn't build anything, so that makes it even more rare that I'm going to bother to look at anyone else's.
Yeah, I think a palace like it was in Civilization 1 would be much better, to be honest. You can build whole wings and stuff, or parks, and walkways, bridges, I don't know, moats, or something like that. Oh well.
You don't really have an aha, something special moment. You do have wonders, and you just don't get the same sense of attraction from building them.
Mm-hmm. I do kind of like that whole, you know, you put a great person into the wonder, you fill it out right. But then once I found out, apparently, I don't know if it's for all wonders or only some, other civs can steal it from you by just putting in one more great person than what you got. I'm giving up my 5% boost in something I'm working on to have this wonder for a little while. Okay, well, puzzle swapping was kind of fun, but I'll just stockpile my great people instead.
Yeah, yeah.
From what I heard, this was Sid's baby. He wanted to do something with Facebook, and he sat down and he did this. I don't know why he carried the same name over. I think just looking at all the past work that Sid has done, he should have just came in and said, I have an idea that will work really well with Facebook, or I want to make an idea that will work really well with Facebook. Having this extra layer of, I want to work in Facebook and be Civ, I think that might have tied his hands in just the wrong way.
That really raises high expectations. At least it did for myself. I was definitely very excited about this game.
Yeah, it was just flat out him, instead of the whole, well, I've got a cult following through Civ games, let's hope that we can bring them in to make it successful. Then, yeah, just his name should have been enough, and then make it a completely new game and see how we go from there, instead of bringing in all of our expectations of, this is what I love about Civ, is it here?
Calling today. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659.
That's 301-637-POLY.
In Europe, 44-121-288-7659. That's 44-121-288-POLY.
You can Skype us at ThePolyCast or email us at ThePolyCast@gmail.com.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on PolyCast,
our sibling shows Modcast and Revcast,
or about PolyCast in general,
log on to the series' official website at ThePolyCast.net.
Game has had kind of a steep learning curve, and I definitely haven't learned everything that I need to in order to do well in this game. And honestly, it will take so much effort that it's really not worth it for me as a Civ player. So, do you think that you would, like, continue playing SimWorld on your own?
Honestly, I'm not sure if I'm going to play SimWorld if it stays in the shape it is right now. I'm not convinced, because the interaction between civilizations and between players is basically who can backstab whom. There is no incentive to work together at all. Not just between players, but between civilizations. There is nothing to offer except military units on their borders. You cannot trade anything, you cannot give anything, you cannot bargain for anything, well, except individually. It's an MMO that's basically a single-player-oriented game, and I don't like that, because there is no incentive for people to work together. There is no carrot, and there is no bet, either. You cannot force them to work together, and if there is no incentive, people tend not to work together. That's how it is.
I'll come back to it every now and then to see just how well they've done, but yeah, my huge curiosity of what's going on and then my game design philosophy, you know, what could be broken, what did they catch, what did they not, how can we actually cheat the system, is there any way they can work against that? All those urges of mine have been satisfied, so now it's just what have they added, what have they changed, which I don't know how much they will.
I myself would probably not continue playing Civ World unless I know that significant changes have taken place. With this release and with the release of Civilization V, I feel like Firaxis is starting to establish this weird track record of releasing games before they're actually ready for shipment. And the thing is, I don't really feel they're losing money by doing this. You know, when Civ V was shipped, for example, it wasn't necessarily a complete game, and I don't think Civ World is going to be either. I guess it is deterring people like us, but I don't know if it will deter people in general from playing Civ World.
Yeah, we're kind of becoming dated, because we're used to, you get a CD, that's the game, you're set forever. Every now and then there's these strange games where you can get online for multiplayer stuff and you download patches, but that's just balances and tweaks and whatever, that doesn't happen often. Whereas now the world is, games develop in your hands. As soon as they're playable, you've got, and with forums and everything else, you can build your name up in the gaming circle and become a part of what influences what the game will become. More and more, the world is going to be that games mutate as you play them.
Sounds actually okay when you see it that way. Maybe we are kind of being, you know, antediluvian and expecting that games come out as finished products when it really should be better that they're so material in nature anyway. I think Firaxis have done a decent job of listening to people. I wouldn't say they're the best of any company, but they're certainly not the worst.
Well, as long as they keep Civ, the main Civ, moddable, then they've got my vote. Sure, Civ 5 hasn't gotten into DLL yet and all that stuff, where we have big tools, but we know that that's always one of their priorities for the main Civ franchise. We can make it into exactly the game we want to. Even though for other games, you can become a big name on the forums, you can prove that you know what you're talking about, you can get a following of people who support your ideals and maybe influence game design. If you want to take time, you want to learn how to code, you want to get in there, you can make exactly the game you want.
Mm.
For that alone, they're always going to have me.
Either you just find I'll have you for the world.
Yeah. Better than Farmville or any of those other things as far as I care, so when I've got nothing better to do, I'll pop in and be useless for one of the Civs and pop back out.
After having played Civ World, I don't really think that they have my vote either. And I've played a couple of other Facebook games that are kind of like it, like Trade Nation, and I think Trade Nation's way better.
No, I'm thinking Axis and Allies, the one that Zynga just came out with. So yeah, I haven't played Trade Nations.
Yeah, but Axis and Allies I haven't tried yet.
Just based off the name and the fact that we were talking earlier about the whole, well, I wish there was resources on my map and there was that trading aspect. And that's one big thing that they really whiffed it on with this that could have improved things dramatically. Because honestly, the way the game is now, I probably would play semi-casually in games just for that hope that one of these games, I'll be that lucky guy who's got five sources of rubber and everyone wants me.
Yeah. That would be really cool.
And that alone would be enough to keep me coming back and playing a sort of meh game that I can probably learn some more tricks about and get a little bit better at. Figuring out, you know, do I want to go pure food or pure production or balanced between everything? But as it is, yeah, figuring out exactly how to do that stuff doesn't have big enough of an end picture to be worth the extra time.
I think our conclusion is that Civ World has really a number of balance issues. We'll see if those are true. It seems that the trend with games nowadays is that games definitely do change years after they come out. And also, games are announced way before they come out, too.
Hello, Duke Nukem. Yeah, but I do think that this will succeed in drawing some people from Facebook toward Civ Civ will still be a huge leap for them.
But well,
might pull them in the right direction. It's not going to work at all the other way, I don't think. Someone who loves Civ and hasn't done Facebook stuff, they're going to come to this, maybe on the pressure of some friends, they'll see it, and then they'll walk away.
I honestly don't think that it will draw very many new users to Facebook, or if they do, then those new users will not be permanent. Because I do know that there are some people in the Civ population that used to join Facebook, but are considering doing so because of this game.
Yeah, those poor guys. We made them get Steam, and we made them get Facebook. And what's next, Twitter? So Civ 4, they had that huge box set with the Civilization card game. That was a much better venture than this one. They could have gotten that same team of people who break it down, and I don't know. Whatever those guys did, they did right, for the most part. There were some problems with the card game. But whatever these guys did, I think they got a lot of work.
I don't really see Civ World bringing additional people into the Civilization franchise because there is such a huge difference between Civ World and Civilization. I can just imagine somebody going from Civ World into Civilization 5 and thinking, where are the puzzles and where are the mazes or whatever.
Yeah, a very, very big leap to go from this to Civ as well.
And honestly, it's a huge leap from developing Civ to developing this kind of thing.
We kind of did a lot, bashing some redeemable features, but they're not nearly as interesting as where it fell short.
Yeah. This has been Polycast Focus, Civ World. Thank you for listening to us, and we'll see you next time on Polycast. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
First, I'm getting ahead of myself. We have to do the introduction.
I just have one question before we start, if it's possible.
Yes. Jason Z and Wolf Turner, and Thibor, first part. And now we can actually start talking about Civ World.
Hooray!
Oh, you're... I'm so sorry. I'll re-say that part. We're joined by Jacob Turner, Z and Wolf.
And honestly, I don't know if he'd want it to be that way since... But whatever.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, what ends up happening is that Dan will let me know if there's something wrong with it, and I'll re-record that one.
Yeah, intro's easy.
I remember Civ World is actually called something else. Do you remember what it was called before? And it was called, like, Civilization. Anyway, moving on. and, well, now I can't think of anything right now. But,
I'm not sure how much longer I can play because I have to work tomorrow morning. I mean, talk. Sorry, not play.
Record date, June 23rd, 2011. Civilization 4, 5, and World Sound Clips. Copyright Take-Two Interactive. Copyright Civilized Communication at civcom.net.